Our first reading is from Ezekiel 37, if you'd like to turn there. Ezekiel 37, we'll be reading the first 14 verses. We're going to be meditating on the biblical truth of God's call today. And this is a classic reference for how God sends His voice out into the world and accomplishes that for which He sends His voice out. And it is an effectual call to life that we see declared here. It speaks of God calling the nation, which is dead and buried in Babylon, calling it to life. And it is applied to many things, calling the people out of Egypt, calling us out of our death in sin. And so here, the powerful effects of the call of God. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, You know. Again He said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then He said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may come to life. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life, and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then He said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. Matthew 13, please turn there. Matthew 13, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 23. And here Jesus tells the touchstone parable of the sower and explains why He teaches in parables. It's a two-edged sword to give hearing and to deafen, to give sight and to blind. Hear God's word, Matthew 13, 1 through 23. That day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and large crowds gathered to Him. So He got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up because they had no depths of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came and said to Him, Why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus answered them, To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart in return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed brings fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Last year or so, we've been pursuing a monthly series on the essentials of the Christian faith. It's the light plan, once a month. The biblical plan is once a week, but this is the light plan, once a month. It's an occasion for us to invite our friends, people who, for one reason or another, are not able or perhaps yet willing to be among us regularly. And it gives some consistency to those who can only come occasionally. If you wonder where we've been or where we're going, all you have to do is look at the table of contents in the Confession of Faith. That's where we've been and that's where we are, and that's, Lord willing, where we're going. Because the Confession covers those things that are the core and the heart and the soul of the Christian faith. And I commend it to your meditation and consideration. We have many copies in our library. If you'd like a personal copy, I can be sure you get one. So today we come to the doctrine that's called effectual calling. But it has a much broader application to it, general calling and specific calling. You'll see in the catechism questions that there are questions on general and specific calling, which also are excellent summaries. So calling, what is calling in its essence, in its meaning in the Scriptures? The first thing, and all these things roll into our specific focus on the calling regarding salvation. The first thing is calling into being. And you remember this verse from Romans 4:17. In the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Gives life to the dead is set in parallel to call into being that which does not exist. When God calls something, it comes. It's that kind of calling that's in view. God's call is an accomplishing call. That's the basic nature of it. Other applications are aside, a part of that, but that is the heart of it, that God calls into being. His call is effective. Along with this, we have the many situations where God calls by name. He calls his people by name. The covenant is this. God says, I will be your God, you will be my people. That is calling. He calls himself Israel's God, and in calling himself that, he constitutes himself that. And he calls Israel his people, and in calling him that, he brings it to pass. He brings into being that which did not exist. He brought into being a nation which did not exist, Israel, previously. In Isaiah 43, it's used in the same way. But now, thus says the Lord, your Creator, O Jacob, He who formed you, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. God puts His name on someone. It's the parallel in Adam. Adam called the animals their names. And what he called them, that's what they were. It was effective. It had a cause and effect relationship. And that is the basic nature of calling. In John chapter 10, verse 3, He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. Calling us His sheep is what makes us His sheep. He calls on us and makes us what He calls us. We call on Him because He first called on us. 1 Corinthians 1:9, Paul says, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. How did we come into fellowship with Christ? God called us. And we can't come unless He calls us. And when He calls us like this, we come. An invitation from a king is a summons. That is the nature of it. There's also the calling to work, and this is where we get the idea of vocation. Your work, your gifts from God is a calling. It really isn't just an arbitrary choice. Oh, I think I'll do this with my life. No, God has given you certain gifts, certain opportunities, certain desires, and those are all part of His calling you to particular things, to particular work. And so, in Exodus 31 with Bezalel and the work on the tabernacle, God called Bezalel by name and called him to this work by name. And it's in the calling that God brought it to pass. And so earlier in 1 Corinthians 1, he says, to the church which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ, saints by calling. How did they become saints? They were called to be saints. It was God's calling into being a holy people that had not been. But today we're going to be considering this idea as it pertains to salvation. You have on the one hand in Luke 5:32, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There is the call to repentance and salvation. And again, in 1 Corinthians 1, the call to be saints, the call into fellowship with Christ. And then in verse 24, to those who are the called, both Jew and Gentile, is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So let's consider the call of God to man. First of all, there is a general outward call to worship. And we see this in Psalm 19 very vividly. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, the expanse declaring the work of His hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. Everything that God has made is calling to us to worship Him. He goes on and says there's no speech. It isn't a verbal call. It's not an audible call. But it is, in its effect, a summons to all creatures to sing God's praise, to worship Him, and to acknowledge Him as the maker and keeper of all things. The maker of heaven and earth and all that is in them, as the Psalms summarize it. Paul acknowledges this call, of course, proclaims it in Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. That which is known about God is evident within them, within and among. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. Or in other words, from our perspective today, having been clearly heard, being understood from what was said in the deeds. There is a general call in all of God's creation and providence that summons all men to worship Him. The problem is, as Paul indicates in Romans chapter 1, that this call is deafened. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, who suppress the call by sin. What do people do when they hear something they don't want to hear? They plug their ears and they go, blah, 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 blah. That's what you have in the academics. Very smart people who are plucking their ears and going blah, 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 with all kinds of fancy arguments because they are shouting out the voice of God. They don't want to hear it. It isn't that it isn't there. It isn't that they don't hear it. It's they don't want to hear it. And they shut God up by screaming at the top of their lungs. God doesn't exist. I don't see any design. There is no design. There is no intelligence evident in the whole creation. It all happened by chance. It's not a stupid thing to say. It's a crazy thing to say. And Paul analyzes that whole situation by declaring to us that it is because people do not want to hear what they hear. It is suppressed. It is not that they can't hear it, according to Paul. It's that they hear it and shut it out. There's also a special outward call to salvation. We see this in the Gospel in Mark chapter 1. Repent and believe in the Gospel. In Mark 1:15, Jesus comes as John did before him, as the apostles did after him. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the Gospel. That's the call to salvation. This isn't a general call to worship. This is a general call to salvation, and it is of a different order. In chapter 2, verse 17, it's not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. There is a call to repentance, faith, and salvation. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, of course, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. It's this call which goes out that brings people to faith in God and in Christ and in salvation. In 1 Corinthians 17, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. This is the preaching, this is the call of the gospel to sinners to repent and to find salvation in Christ. But there's a problem here as well. As the general call of creation and providence calls all creation to worship God, and it is shouted down, the call of salvation goes out and it is not heard because people are deaf. All men hear the call of creation and providence, but not all men hear the call of salvation. The problem is that because of our sin, we are deaf. And not deaf just by circumstance, but deaf by choice. There's a certain inherent deafness, and then you can't hear, and then your hearing goes completely away. Matthew 13:15. The heart of this people has become dull. Their ears, they scarcely hear, and they've closed their eyes. So you have dullness, barely hearing, and closing the eyes. The heart, the eyes, and the ears. And they're all mixed metaphors. That's allowed in the Bible. You mix your metaphors like crazy. So, consistently, the ears have become dull. Their ears, they scarcely hear. And they have closed their ears. They are deaf. By nature and by will. In verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one snatches it away. They don't hear it. They hear it with the physical ear, but they don't hear it with the ear of the heart. There is spiritual deadness and spiritual deafness. The contrast in verse 23, the seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it. That is the difference. Some hear it, and some don't, and deafen themselves. We can understand the parable of the wedding feast in this context as well. Matthew 22, 1. He again spoke to them in parables. And in verse 14, you have this very striking statement. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called with the gospel of salvation, but few have ears to hear it. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Not just those who hear it with the physical ear, but with the ear of the heart that issues in obedience. You know someone hears you when they do what you have told them. You know your children have heard you when they obey your commandment. In Isaiah 28, verse 12, he who said to them, here is rest, give rest to the weary, and here is repose, but they would not listen. Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. But they will not listen. They hear the words, but they don't understand them. And they shut their ears to the words that they don't understand. There is a difficult providence and there is a responsible rejection that's tied up together. You can't blame God for it. Matthew 11, verse 5, you have this wonderful promise. Sorry, let me go back to Isaiah 29, 18. What is there for the deaf? You have this promise that's representative of the Old Testament. On that day, the deaf will hear words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. That's the hope. That we in our natural and rebellious deafness will not be left there, and have not been left there. But God intervenes. If we were left to ourselves, we would continue to deafen ourselves and blind our own eyes. Born in that and declining in that. But the gospel is the deaf will hear. That the voice that goes out from God calling people to salvation, God will give ears to hear that voice and to respond. And so in Matthew 11, when Jesus says, the blind receive the sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. He's not speaking just of the physical going from deafness to hearing, but the spiritual of going from deafness to hearing that He accomplishes, even by means of the call. It's really a crazy system. God calls us to preach to the deaf. How stupid is that? You know, draw pictures for the deaf and speak to the blind. But he says, speak to the deaf and draw pictures for the blind. Why does he do that? Because the only way that that'll work is if he does something. And when you preach to the deaf and the deaf hear, God has acted. And that's our only hope. And so in Matthew 13, which we read, he says to those who hear, to you has been granted to know, and it parallels in verse 16, blessed are your eyes, and because they see, and your ears because they hear. Hearing the call of God to salvation is a gift. It's a gift. John 5, 24 and 25. Truly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. Truly I say to you, an hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. The dead will hear. That's our hope. That's the only way that we have heard, is we were dead and we were made alive. We were deaf and we were given ears to hear. Acts 16 is a wonderful instance of this. Verse 14 with Lydia. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. So she heard the words that Paul was preaching. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. The Lord opened her ears. Take a look at the text. Heart. You cut off the H at the beginning and the T at the end. What do you have? Ear. Okay, it's a little English thing, but, you know. Nothing is beneath me. Okay, in terms of explaining it. The Lord opened her ears to hear the gospel. It isn't a natural ability. It's a gift. We are responsible for our deafness, but God is responsible for our hearing. If we do not hear and will not hear, we are justly judged. But if we do hear, we are graciously saved. And so in 1 Corinthians 1, Paul addresses them in terms of this call. Verse 2, saints by calling. Verse 9, called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the effectual call where God not only sends out the voice of the gospel, but gives ear to hear. And giving the ears to hear is part of that call in these cases. In verse 24, but to those who are the called, Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God. This calling is not just the general call of creation. It isn't even the general call of salvation, but is the effectual call of salvation where God not only sends out His voice, but also gives ears to hear that voice and respond fruitfully. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. We should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation, through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you see the connection between God's choice and His calling. His calling is the execution of His choice. He chooses to do something, and He does it by sending out His voice, giving ears to hear, and bringing people to Himself. We can better understand the classic verses in Romans 8 from this background. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. This is that call in which, by the call, He gives ears. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. This is a particular call, the effectual call, where God not only sends out His voice, but makes it effective in the lives of His people. Second Timothy 1:9, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Jesus Christ from all eternity. If you have ears to hear, it is because they've been given to you. So, God is calling you in any number of ways. Remember Samuel, little boy, Eli lying down, and he hears this voice, Samuel, Samuel, calling to him. And he goes to Eli and says, what do you want? And Eli says, I didn't call you. And this goes on for a while. And Eli says, ah, the Lord is calling you. Next time he calls, say, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. That's the application. The Lord is calling you, and your response is, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. God is calling you, and you must hear Him. First of all, it's not a question of if with the creation and providence. You hear God. It's like you're talking to your children. You know your children hear you. You know that they understand what you're saying, but they are not listening. And you put your face in their face and your finger in their nose and you say, I know you hear me. I know you hear me. Now listen to me. This is the call of creation. You hear God. You hear God's voice in everything that He has made. You hear His voice of power, His voice of goodness, His voice of faithfulness in everything that He has made. You hear God's voice in His providence. You hear His voice of justice. You hear His voice of mercy. And if you say you don't hear, according to the Scriptures, you lie. And I'm not going to be rebuked by anybody for saying, you lie. Don't you guys read the news? If you don't hear that voice, it is because you are blocking your ears. You are deafening yourself. You must look around you, listen to what God is saying in His works, creation and providence, and you must fall down on your face and worship Him as the creator of the world and the ruler of the world. That you know, and that you must do. Flip side of this is you hear the Creator's voice. Do not turn Him off. Psalm 95, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Don't say you don't hear it. Don't fail to listen. Confess what you know. Fess up to it. That God is the Creator and the ruler of the world. And He has some very severe judgments and justice against those who hear Him but deny it. Isaiah 65, verse 12, He says, I will destine you for the sword, and all of you will bow down to the slaughter, because I called, and you did not answer. I spoke, and you did not hear, and you did evil in my sight, and chose that in which I did not delight. There is a consequence for hearing God and not listening to Him. He is patient, He is slow to anger, He is abounding in loving kindness, but sooner or later, and suddenly and quickly, He destroys your life. You hear Him. Listen to Him. Praise Him. And worship Him. Thirdly, you may not hear the voice of the gospel. You hear the voice of creation, but you may not hear the voice of the gospel. But if you do hear the Savior's voice, thank God for your ears. No matter how big they may be, no matter how unbalanced they probably are, one higher than another, one larger than another, as we're made laterally anyway. Thank God for your ears. Please don't ever think that you're better than other people who don't believe. You're not. You're just as bad or worse. I'm just as bad. Or worse than the person who doesn't believe. The only thing that makes you to differ is the grace of God. He gave you ears to hear, and that's why you hear. It doesn't excuse those who don't hear, but it does deliver you from any pride or arrogance that you hear because of your own excellence or goodness. If you hear the Savior's voice, thank God for your ears. It has been given you to understand the kingdom. Blessed are your ears because they hear. Your hearing should redound to the praise of God, not to your own smugness. And item D, if you hear the Savior's voice, listen and follow Him. God hasn't given you ears to hear the gospel to be entertained. And to say, oh, what a wonderful story this is. I'm so happy that I've been forgiven my sins and I've been given the gift of righteousness. What a wonderful thing. What's for dinner? In John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. He has called us to be His sheep, and in His calling us to be His sheep, He enables us to hear His voice, and I know them, and they follow me. How do you know if you hear the shepherd's voice? You know that you hear the shepherd's voice because you follow him. And if you don't follow him, you're not hearing as you ought to hear. Mark chapter 1, verse 20, Jesus called them, and immediately they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and away and followed him. If you hear his voice, you follow him. That's how you know. That's the consequence of it. That's your privilege and obligation. And so, many of the ethical exhortations in the Bible, in the New Testament particularly, follow on hearing the call. And so you have, for example, in Ephesians 4, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Worthy of the calling with which you've been called. You've been called, you hear the call, now you are to walk and follow him as he calls you to along the way of faith and faithfulness. And so, why do we speak the truth in love? Because Christ has called us to speak the truth in love. Why do we lay aside falsehood and speak truth? Because Christ has called us to lay aside falsehood and speak truth. If we hear his call, we will obey it. We will follow him in it. Everything follows from that. Ephesians 4:1 is the break point from doctrine to practice. And the practice is all set out as following his call. Paul speaks in Philippians 3:14 of pursuing the upward call in Christ Jesus. Christ is constantly calling you. If you hear his voice, what you hear is, follow me. Follow me in your marriage. Follow me with your children. Follow me in your work. Follow me in your relationships. Follow me in evangelism. Follow me in discipleship. It's all following him. It's all summed up in that. Be holy yourself as the one who called you is holy. If we hear him, we will follow him. But unto me, what if you don't hear the Savior's voice? Or what if it's muffled? Or what if you hear it, but you don't understand what you hear in the preaching or in the reading of the Bible? It's the same story of the gospel. People, Satan takes the truth that hearing is a gift of God and perverts it in the hearts of the unbelieving by saying, oh, I don't hear, I guess it's not for me. Is that what you do? You're sick and you need medicine and you don't have it? You say, I guess it's not for me. What do? When you need something that you don't have? You ask for it. If you don't hear the voice of Christ, if you don't have ears to hear, ask for them. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Ask for ears and God will give them to you. And if you don't have ears to hear, you haven't asked. What about those we know who don't have ears to hear? Our children, our neighbors, our friends, family. Ask. Lord, give them ears to hear. Remember Tyndale's prayer on the scaffold? Lord, open the King of England's eyes. And within a very short time, the King of England was not only not suppressing English translation of scriptures, he was publishing them and putting them in every church. Tyndale prayed and God answered. Tyndale asked that the King of England's eyes would be opened and they were opened. How can we not pray with the same urgency, even though we're not on the scaffold? Lord, open my daughter's ears. Open my son's ears. Open my neighbor's ears. We must pray. And God will answer us. I don't know how. I don't know when. And when he doesn't answer, that should be the shock. It should be a shock to us when we pray that God would give someone ears and they never get ears to hear. It's a mystery. But in our cynicism, in our depression, in our unbelief, we expect to pray and not be answered. And so we don't pray.
Why would anyone not pray?
Because they don't expect an answer. Pray that God would give ears to the deaf. Because the day has come when the dead hear the voice of God. It's the day of Christ. It's the day of the resurrection. The dead are raised and the deaf hear. We have every reason to pray with expectation. And so, item F, last. If you hear the Savior's voice, confidently echo Him that others would hear Him also. God, Christ has sent us out in the world to echo His call, to give voice to His call. And He says to us, My sheep will hear My voice and will come to Me. So if you go out into the field and you say, as Ernie and Burke do, instead of hear fishy, 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 you know that one? The fish jump in the boat. We go out in the field and say, hear sheep, 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 by living and preaching the gospel. The sheep will come. That's Christ's promise. He's been doing it for 2,000 years. How do you think you got here? Because God's voice goes out and accomplishes that for which He sent it. He calls His sheep and His sheep come. Praise God that He's called us. Let us be faithful in calling others. Let us pray. Father, there is much that we do not understand. There is much that You have not given us to understand. But this much we know, this much You have told us. That You send out Your voice into all the earth, calling all creation to worship You as Creator and Ruler. And we pray, Lord, that in Your grace You would make that effective and overcome the stubbornness of our hearts. And especially, Lord, we thank You that You have sent out Your voice of salvation in the cross of Jesus Christ, and that You have given ears to hear and hearts to believe and grace to follow You. Lord, help us to hear better and listen better and follow You more closely. And Lord, especially also enable us so to give voice to Your gospel that You would be pleased to use us as a means by which You will give ears to those who are now deaf, give life to those who are now dead. And so, Lord, You have given us courage to pray for our sons and our daughters and our neighbors and our friends and our siblings and our parents who are still deaf in sin, that You will hear our prayers and that You will give them ears to hear as You have so graciously given us ears to hear. O Lord, please hear us and answer us in Jesus' name. Amen.